Well, if you have a copy with me to the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 10, the Gospel according to Luke and the chapter 10. The Gospel according to Luke and the chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 20. Of this chapter. Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 1 and down to verse 20. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Amen. Luke chapter 10. And I want to draw your attention to verse 20 and the closing statement of verse 20. The Lord Jesus speaking here to a number of his people. And of course the statement is applicable to all of the children of God. The statement is, your names are written in heaven. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Now, I want to take this statement as my text, and I want to speak to you this afternoon on the subject, the register of saved souls. The register of saved souls. Well, this text appears here in Luke 10 as an exhortation given by the Lord Jesus to the 70. We may call them 70 of his disciples. And he says to them, rejoice. He exhorts them, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Now, the 70 are to be distinguished from the more familiar grouping of the 12 apostles, disciples, and so on. They are to be distinguished from that number. But these men are followers of the Lord. These men are appointed by Christ. They are commissioned for his service. Chapter 10 and verse 1 is very clear on that, that the Lord appointed other 70 also. And it's clear in chapter 10, verse 1, that he sends them on a mission. We are told that these 70 that are appointed are sent to and to before his face into every city and place. And this mission that they are sent on, it will involve the preaching of the gospel, it will involve healing, and it will involve the casting out of demons. There was, it appears from the gospel, something of an explosion of demonic activity during our Lord's ministry. There seems to be quite a number of genuine cases of demonic possession. And part of the work of the 12 and part of the work of the 70 is to cast out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now in verse 17, the 70 return from their mission. And they return in jubilant mood. They are exultant. The mission has gone particularly well. We are told in verse 17 that the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. As they come back to the Lord to report on how the mission has gone, how the work has gone, there is a smile upon every face. There is great joy among the number. And there is particular joy. There is particular gladness and jubilation over the fact that even the demons have been subject to them through the name. They have been successful in casting out demons. Now it is in these circumstances where the 70 are coming back from a season of service that has gone particularly well. It is in these circumstances that the Lord cautions them in verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits, these demons, these spiritual beings, the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Lord, in essence, is saying to them that yes, they are joyful, and rightly so, of course. The service has gone well, the work that he's given them to do has gone well, and so on. And it's right and proper that there should be joy in that. But he cautions them here not to let this be their chief joy. Not to let, in particular, this success they have had in casting out demons and success more generally in their service for the Lord, not to let this be their chief source of joy. But rather, he says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let the fact that your names are written in heaven. Let that be your chief joy. Let that be that which you derive from again and again, a source of happiness and gladness and even jubilation. In other words, he is saying to them, look, rejoice that you are converted and pardoned men. Rejoice that you are registered in heaven as subjects of the kingdom of God. Rejoice that through Christ you are forgiven of all your sin. That through Christ you're accepted with God. That through Christ you are saved men. Rejoice that your names are written in the register of saved souls. Now this is a word, not just for the 70, but this is a word for every believer in Christ. The exhortation comes to us all, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Well, first of all, I put it to you that what we have here in this statement is a word of knowledge. It is a word of knowledge. Remember that the Lord, of course, knows the 70. Verse 1 makes it clear that he has appointed them. And I would strongly argue that this appointing of 70 has been with careful thought. And it would indicate to us that he knows the 70. He knows who these people are. He knows their name and so on. And when they come back, he is speaking to people that he knows. He is speaking to people whose names are known to him. And he's able to say to them, look, your names are written in heaven. And he's able to say that, of course, because he knows whose names are written in heaven. He knows who is, as it were, in the register. And as the 70 return from their mission, he is able to look on every face. He is able to put names to the faces. And he's able to say to them as a group, look, your name is there. Your name is there. And this, of course, is so for every child of God. Now, what we are describing this afternoon as the register of saved souls, this register is referred to on a number of occasions in the Scriptures. It is referred to on a number of occasions in the Scriptures. When the apostle is writing to the Philippian church, he writes to his fellow laborers. And in Philippians 4:3, he speaks to his fellow laborers, and I quote, fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Fellow laborers, all saved men, whose names are in the book of life. Revelation 20, verses 12 and 15, again, are references made to the book of life. A book that clearly from the context contains the name of those that are saved. Daniel 12 verse 1, it is simply referred to as the book. It's simply referred to as the book. And that perhaps shows something of its vital importance in terms of our souls. But in Revelation 13 and verse 8, and perhaps this is the most instructive reference with regards to what we're looking at in Luke 10. The verse there is, and the description is, quote, the book of life of the Lamb slain. The book of life of the Lamb slain. It is the Lamb's book. And in Revelation, of course, it is the Lamb of God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that is in view. It is the Lamb who was slain for our sins. And therefore this book, it is the Lamb's book, yes, it is Christ's book. And it is his book, for it is a register of his people. The people whom he has loved. The people for whom he has died for their sins. And here is his book, the book of life. A book which contains the names of those who have everlasting life.
who have been born again unto everlasting life, here is a book which is a register of his people. And I am saying to you that this book, which is the Lamb's book, which is Christ's book, this register which is his, which he refers to in our text, the Lord knows who is in the register. For he knows his people. And he knows his people like he knew the 70. He knows his face by face. He knows his name by name. In John chapter 10, the knowledge of the Lord, of his people, the knowledge the Lord has of his people, is likened on to the knowledge that a shepherd has of the sheep. Verse 14, I know my sheep. Verse 27, I know them. And then verse 3 of John 10, he calleth his own sheep by name. Well, for every believer it is true that he called us to everlasting life. He called us to himself. He called us, for we were his own sheep, and he called us by name. And we are brought to the conclusion, when we look at John 10:3, we are brought to the obvious conclusion, he knows us, name by name. He knows who we are, and he knows who is in the register, and he's able to look upon us just as he looked upon the 70, and he's able to say, your names are written in heaven. I know you, and your name is there. Your name is there. That's why I say to you, Luke 10:20 is a word of knowledge. He knows who is in the register. He knows whose names are written there in heaven. He knows his people. And this is so important. If we look at this whole business from another angle, if we look at it in terms of Matthew 7, Matthew 7 and verse 21 and 22, and particularly verse 23. Verse 21, the Lord Jesus, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? You will notice here, of course, that in terms of this people who have a clear association with Christianity, you will notice in verse 22 that the ground of their salvation is their own works. It's all about what they have done. It's not about what the Lord has done for them. And therefore, of course, they're not saved. They shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord will make that clear to them. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now let's be clear. Here are those saying to him, Lord, Lord. And he says to them, I never knew you. Oh, the name is ascertained. And the Lord says, I never knew you. You're not in the register. Your name is not found there. It's not in the book of life. You're not in my book. And therefore, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that for them, of course, in that day is an utter disaster. It's a personal tragedy. It's that which brings immense sorrow, great sorrow, unending, eternal sorrow. But yet for us who know the Lord, for us who know the Lord and can look forward to a day when we shall meet the Lord in this fashion, the Lord knows us. The Lord knows us by name. He knows all about us. He knows we are his. And he knows we are in the register. And when our name is there in the register, and our name is found in the register, that will be for us a cause of rejoicing.
of everlasting rejoicing. This is a word of knowledge. The Lord, who knows his people, who knows who is in this register, who knows our names are written in heaven, he says to us, rejoice, rejoice. Well, secondly, this afternoon, I want to draw your attention to the fact that this is a word of assurance. It is a word of assurance. The Lord would have his own people to be assured of their salvation. The Lord would have his own people to be assured of their salvation, certain that they are saved, certain that they are saved. At 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, the apostle speaks to this issue. He writes here, of course, as always, in the scriptures by inspiration of God, so what he has to say is absolutely accurate. 2 Timothy 1 and the verse 12, he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know Christ whom I have believed. It's not just that I'm hopeful concerning Christ I hope I know him. I know him. I know who I have believed. I know who I have trusted for my salvation. And he says, I am persuaded, I am convinced that he, Christ, is able, is powerful to keep that which I have committed unto him. He is able to deliver the apostle's soul. He is more than able to keep the soul which has been committed to him. He is more than able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here is a statement of assurance. Here is a man who knows he is saved. Here is a man who is certain that he is saved. And he speaks in that way. And I say to you, the Lord would have all of his people. He would have all of his people to be so assured. He would have all of his people to be so assured. There is no advantage whatsoever in a genuine believer, a genuine Christian, doubting their salvation. There is no advantage in that whatsoever. That is a problem, a spiritual problem, that needs to be resolved. And needs to be resolved very, very clearly in the mind and of the heart of the person that is concerned. There's no advantage in that whatsoever. And I put it to you that this statement of our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, this statement may be viewed as a word of assurance. Here is a statement, here is a word that does, if we understand it aright, that does assure the people of God of their own salvation. The Lord is saying to his people, your names are registered as subjects in the kingdom of God. Your names are written in heaven. And it's fascinating and very encouraging indeed to note the verb tense in terms of that verb written. Without getting into all the technicalities, it is the tense of completed action. It is the tense of completed action. The thing is done. The name is written. The book will not need to be corrected. There is completion. As he speaks to the 70, there is a completion here. This is a completed act, a finished act. In other words, it will not be gone back to. It will not be amended. It will not be stroked out. Your name is there, and it's going to always be there. Your name is permanently written in. It's not just there for a time, subject to circumstance. It is personally and permanently written in. It's permanently written in. And that, of course, is a word of assurance. And then it must be stated that this is clearly written in. Your names are written in heaven. It is clearly written. It is sometimes the case that an individual's handwriting can be less than good, and even some, we wonder if they're skilled in hieroglyphics. That's sometimes the case. But here, the name is clearly written. It is very obviously there. There's no doubt about it.
the work of Jesus Christ has given to every believer a very clear entitlement to heavenly citizenship. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ has given to every believer a very clear, a very transparent right to heavenly citizenship. And then again, it is worthy of note, your names are written in heaven. The register is in heaven. The register is beyond earth. It's beyond the influence of earth. Nothing on earth can affect the register. Once the names are written in, written clearly in, written permanently in, there is nothing on earth that can conceivably, possibly affect the register. It simply is a register written in heaven. It is designed to assure us. It is designed to really lay home and fasten home the truth upon the heart of the child of God that their salvation is secure. Their salvation is secure. Your name is there. Your name is there. Concerning your future, it is certain that you are a subject of the kingdom of God, and that is not going to change. Now that's a word of assurance. Thirdly, quite clearly, this is a word also then of encouragement. Heavenly citizenship is a cause for rejoicing. Heavenly citizenship is a cause for rejoicing. If someone emigrates to a new country and they apply for citizenship and they're granted citizenship, they're given the right to live in the country, and so on, and various other rights that go with that, well, that's a cause for rejoicing. And ordinarily, people do rejoice. Here in Australia, it's usually Australia Day. It's part of the Australia Day celebrations, new people being brought into citizenship. Well, heavenly citizenship is a cause for rejoicing. The right to live in heaven is a cause for rejoicing. It is a marvelous cause. Our salvation and everything that pertains to it, it is a marvelous cause for rejoicing. And the Saviour is right to argue in such a way, and right to exhort us to rejoice, because our names are written in heaven. You see, the 70 were in danger of making successful service the chief source of joy. And certainly if service has been successful, there is a place for rejoicing over that. There is a place for thanking God. And I don't believe that the Saviour is denying that at all in what he has to say. But it is dangerous. It is dangerous to make successful service the chief joy. It is dangerous to make it the chief joy, because the truth of the matter is that there is a seasonableness in the Lord's work. There is a seasonableness in the Lord's work. The Scripture does speak of in season and out of season. There is season for sowing and there is season for God giving the increase. There are times when things are very successful, and there are other seasons when, relatively speaking, there is little success. Few souls being saved, a degree of coldness and backsliding common among believers. And it's dangerous then to make successful service the chief source of joy. Of course we praise the Lord when someone is saved. Of course we praise the Lord if things go well. But we can get into a position where, in terms of our own hearts, we're way up here when things are going well in the work of God. But when it is a quieter season, a drier time, we can sink down into the very depths. And that sort of thing can happen. Ministers are not immune to that. Perhaps they're more exposed to it than almost anyone else. But it is a danger. It is a danger. It is far better for us to have as our chief source of joy what the Saviour says here. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is something permanent. This is something that day by day we may rejoice over, whether the work is going forward in leaps and bounds, or whether it is going forward in small steps, or even whether for a time it is retreating. Nevertheless, day by day we may rejoice believingly that our names are written in heaven. We may rejoice scripturally, pointing to the scriptures that tell us such, that our names are written in heaven. We may rejoice openly. We may rejoice constantly. We may rejoice prayerfully that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We are recipients of His great salvation. We are those that are brought into the family of God. And so certain are we of heaven that we can point to texts like this and say already, our names are down for heaven. The Savior has told us so. This is a word of encouragement. And then fourthly and finally, if I just say a word or two to those who may not be saved. For the believer, yes, a word of knowledge, a word of assurance, a word of encouragement, all of those things. But for anyone that's not saved, this register of saved souls, this is a word of warning. This is a word of warning. If the Lord does not know you, your name is not there. If the Lord does not know you, if you do not know Him, no matter what else you may be, and a lot of what else you may be very good, but if your name is not there, you're not entering into heaven. You're not entering into heaven. You have no title to any of the blessings of the gospel. You're not in a position to rejoice because your name simply isn't there. And for you, the position is one not of joy, not of happiness, not of blessing. For you, the position is one of weeping. And therefore I say, this is to the ungodly, this register, these names that are written in heaven, it is a warning to you. It is a warning to you. Not all will enter into the kingdom. Not all, even that are religious, will enter into the kingdom. It is only those whose names are written. It is only those who are in the book of life. Those who have the Lord of life as their Lord and Savior. Those who have entered into life, have been born again, and spiritual life has begun. It is only they who are found in the book of life. To gain a clear title to heaven, to life everlasting, you must have the Lord of life to be your Lord. For your name to be in this book of life, to be in the Lamb's book, you must have the Lamb. You must have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. May God graciously bless His word to our hearts this day. For Jesus' sake, amen.